Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. This is the defensive preview this week. The Army football team has been in camp for about a week. If you're watching the socials, you'll see the birth of the Army Air Raid 2026. So we're going to see a lot of passing yardage in the scrimmages and practices, but we don't know how much that's going to translate onto the field, but that's okay. I think have an Army that's proficient in passing is good, because when you do throw, then it actually has an impact on the game. But you know, because camp is in and everything is serious, it's time for us to get serious. So welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm joined by Dano Icabesa out of Coastal Connecticut, and Omar is joining us from Fort Sill, Oklahoma. How are we doing today, guys?
Never better, man. Rode to work today on my bike in a driving rainstorm quite by accident. Set me off on entirely the wrong foot. And so now I'm ready to drink a little beer and talk a little Army football and put that in the rear view.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. Omar, how about you?
Well, the opposite. It has not rained out here in rural Oklahoma for weeks. Getting worried about the cows that I pass on the way to work every day, because I noticed that their little watering patch is getting like much drier than usual, but it'll take care of itself. But I also am ready to talk about Army football. I will say that in the Borja house, Married at First Sight season's wrapping up. And college football season starting again. So judge me if you will in the chat.
So as we did last week, we're going to talk about the defense in particular. We talked about offense last week. If you didn't see that, go back and check that show out. That was pretty good. But before we get started, we got to pay some bills. So if you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Line, West Point class of 2010, and served as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for making impact in people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service and ensures a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors spanning the country that's willing to help support your PCS wherever it takes you. Whether you're relocating locally or across the nation, Jocelyn's recommendations come at no cost, and she will connect you with a professional of integrity in any market. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn Bradley is a realtor you can trust to guide you to a new home. Reach out to her today and make your next move effortless. Dano, you want to take the Army football news?
I will. Coach Munkin signed a 5-year extension. He is already within striking distance of the record for both most games coached and most wins. So Brendan in the Firsty Club noted he's 13 games away from the most games coached. Could easily tie that this season. 33 wins away from the record of most wins. It's astonishing that, you know, he could get that close to the wins record at the same time he's that close to the most games coached record. Because obviously Red Blake had some legendary teams back in the day. Yeah, so sure. That's to only be 20 games back from that record pace from the 40s is pretty amazing. 40s and 50s, but still.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So I'll give you what are your thoughts. My thoughts really quickly are like, look at the numbers. He's so close. You know, is anybody surprised that he got re-upped? I mean, I know that there are some people that were grumbling because Army fans are now spoiled. Like a 10-win season is pretty, you know, is pretty common around here. You know, 8 to 10 wins is pretty usual for Army. So if we don't have that, and it's kind of like, are we going to a bowl game? Are we not going to a bowl game? When we start having those discussions, I mean, in the grand scheme of college football, those are moot points, particularly since Coach Munkin has been the coach at Army. There's been some thin years, but like usually those thin years are, you know, at least 500 now. So Omar, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I think it's phenomenal, honestly. And I think like, maybe it's not a bad sign for the sports head, because I'm really not a college football doomsday person like everyone else is, or not everyone, but a lot of people are. But I feel like Coach Munkin has seen like the writing on the wall with how the game is, where it's like it's not going to get better than this. And if it is going to get better in the next opportunity, it could, I mean, I'm not going to say cost his health, but stress him out in a way that, you know, is not beneficial. Like, I mean, the example comes to mind is Jerry Kill, like where he was about to take Mexico State in the mountaintop, but he literally cited how exhaustive the college football landscape and the transfer portal is. So I'm excited to have Coach Monk in here too for the next 5 years, obviously. But I think maybe this is my roundtable brain thinking a day earlier, but I think it's just indicative of the current college football landscape and how it just benefits us.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because, you know, it's very unpredictable. Like I heard some crazy shenanigans. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. It's not the topic, but it may certainly become one later on in the season. But you've got these guys, one kid from the University of Texas who basically washed out of two NFL minicamps and is coming back to the University of Texas. Oh, why?
Gross.
Because he can get paid more in NIL money than he can on the practice squad.
Terrible.
And that is where we're at in college football. But terrible. This is an Army show, so we're going to talk about the Army defense. Two big issues for the defense this season, of course, is a new defensive coordinator. Not really an issue. He's been around the team for the past 11 years. He served as a defensive pass coordinator. And if you didn't read the article, that was one of the notes is like he's coached some of the most prolific defensive backs in Army history, to include Elijah Riley, who went on to the pros. Right. So that's not that he's not familiar with the team or the scheme, but he's taking on a lot more responsibility. And again, the passing game has pretty much been one of the better parts of the offense for the defense for a while, but it's still a big change. We've also got changes at the defensive line position and a quarterback's coach. Army needs a new set of starting linebackers though, because it's like hard to replace Fortner and Thomas. Like those guys were forces in the middle of the defense. And, you know, that was a question we asked a couple years ago, like, hey, who's going to replace Eric Smith or who's going to replace, you know, fill in the blank Army prolific linebacker, right? We asked that question and we got two for 2 years, you know, with Fortner and Thomas. And so that makes it a little bit different. Also need to add an edge rusher because we had some people graduate. Ford has moved on to the Army to do bigger and better things. But the thing is, Army's pretty good at recruiting defensive linebackers, you know, and the defensive secondary, you know, we say it every year and it's starting to become a cliche, right? Every year in Army, we're like, hey, who's going to be the quarterback? And then we ask the question, hey, who's going to be the standout linebacker? And is the secondary going to show up? And typically those questions get answered very early. And the answer is usually yes. Defensive scheme, Army still runs a base 3-4 defense. It's really more like a 3-5 because they bring up the nickel back and play him closer to the line when most plays. Bend but don't break in the back end, and then it's highly, you know, predicated on stopping the run. When they get good play of the nose guard, you know, the linebackers usually get free, and that's just the fundamentals of front seven football, right? The defensive line are soaking up blocks, and the linebackers make the tackles. The defense can stop the run and prevent getting beat over the top. They usually, you know, lock everybody down as they get close to the red zone and force turnovers. And I think that was that's an area of improvement for Army since last year. Is just the turnover ratio was not very good for the defensive side. But we'll pause there really quick. Gentlemen, what are your overall thoughts on the defense so far?
So it's hard not to be worried about the new defensive coordinator just because we haven't seen him do it. This is not me throwing shade or expressing doubt. It's just a concern, right? You had a guy in there who had success for a long time and now he's gone. And I think there's a certain amount of anxiety that goes along with that. I also say, you know, reports from people who have attended practice lately have said the offense looks really good, which means that, you know, they're playing against the Army defense and the Army defense is not making the offense look bad. And at this time of year, you would usually expect the defense to be ahead. So if you're a doomer and you feel like feeling bad about yourself, there's a concern, right? Army's offense moving the ball all over the field. Granted, they got shit ton of seniors who are coming back on the offensive side, but still, I'm really interested to see how Coach Dixon calls this defense, but I can't help being concerned because that's definitely where all the change is happening.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, how about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Dana on a different slant where it's not so much the coordinator, but I think with all the sprinkles of new faces that we're seeing in the starting spots, like looking at the schedule, Army doesn't have as much of a trial by error process. I mean, yeah, Bryant is, of course, the one we're all pointing to. Like that's a get right game, but the next week there's USF with which is a big mystery itself, but we know that they're going to bring a great offense with Coach Hartline coaching, then bye week, and then Temple. It's kind of reflective of last year, to be honest with you, and I know that we had beaten Kansas State, but that was an Army keep-away special for the most part. So that's what worries me. It's like we get, in a way, like the stronger draw of the American Conference on the front end of the schedule with this new group. And I'll express my concerns about like which group in particular worries me the most, but like, yeah, like that's what concerns me. The schedule's heavy and they got to figure it out quick.
Yeah. And I think that's a key indicator, like the trial by fire, right? They're jumping in the deep end early. And typically, you know, the first year in the American Army had a pretty manageable schedule, right? And now, you know, as the competition kind of balances out and levels off, and let's be honest, like the American is not a bad conference, right? Particularly in football. So if you watch it, like there's a lot of parity, which is good, but that typically means your team has to gel a lot faster and perform a lot higher than they typically could, because they have to wade through the mistakes, and those could be costly. But let's move on to the depth chart. So this is via ourlads.com, which is usually pretty decent, and it's not perfect, but gives you a pretty good indicator of who's going to be starting on the ball. So on the defensive line, again, I think this might be the most experienced front seven that we've had probably in about 3 or 4 years coming out for Army. Nose tackle Cody Harris Miller, like that dude's a stud. Like if he can stay healthy, he's going to influence a lot of the overall performance in the game. You have defensive end Jack Bosom and Javon Smith Jr. Both of them have he had 4 tackles in 2025. Bosom came on really strong at the end of the year last year. He looked really good. And so, like, if those are your 3 down linemen, that's not a bad place to start, you know, from a defensive front perspective. Linebackers, you have inside linebacker Brian Banks and Baylor Newsom. Both of those guys are experienced, but haven't played a lot of ball. They haven't started, but they've played a lot of, you know, minutes over the last couple of years. Outside linebacker Noah Nixon, Apache is or nickelback is Cole Seawright, and like again, all those guys have played, they just haven't started. So it's going to be interesting, like who's going to be the defensive play caller out of that bunch of linebackers, right? So also one of the considerations now in modern college football, and we don't even talk about it much on the defense, is the coach to player communication, right? So who's going to be that guy for the defense, and who's going to be getting those defensive calls as they're coming in from the sidelines if they make those adjustments. Safeties, you have team captain Steven Ndozi, Caleb Williams, not from the Chicago Bears, but both of those guys have seen a decent amount of playing time, and they're solid. Again, it's just the difference of moving up into a starting role. That means there's going to be higher expectations just in general. Cornerbacks Jackson Hammond and Jaden Maines, both of those guys are known on the defense. Hammond's very good cover corner. Jaden Maines has had some impact as well. So I think both of those guys are good. And I think those two may be the most experienced guys on the defense outside of the TNTs in the front. But what are your thoughts on this, gentlemen? We'll go to Omar and then Dano. Thanks.
So I'll be honest, like I know the stats might say otherwise, but I'm kind of worried about the defensive line and the ripple effects with that. Only because like this unit has, I mean, Cody Harris Miller is great up the middle, right? But when it comes to the edges, I can see teams doubling, you know, Jack Bosom, right? So who's going to provide a pass rush? And last year, like Jack Bosom was great. A lot of people drink the Jack Bosom Kool-Aid, but Army still had like 15 sacks as a team. And I only say this about the secondary, because this is not the year with opponents that Army plays to be, you know, having issues on the back end, honestly, like with Florida Atlantic, which I mean we'll talk about later on, and of course USF again, with you know how prolific their offense is and projects to be, excuse me. Like I'm concerned about who the second pass rusher is going to step up, you know, and win those one-on-ones, like kind of like, I guess, call it like a Andre Carter coming into 2022, like 2.0, but like to a lesser degree. Like I can kind of see the pass rush kind of struggling a bit outside of Bosom.
Yeah, for sure. Dano, how about you?
Yeah, well, similar, right? Army often has to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, they used to say that they like to solve their problems with aggression, but that only works if you're stopping the run, playing successful coverage deep against the passing game. Like we saw last year at times that you could play back off the passing game and stop from getting beat deep. But if teams are rushing for 5 yards a pop, like you're still screwed. You know, that North Texas game, they weren't stopping anybody because North Texas was just running the ball. And, you know, I'm, as we said, I'm not expecting any changes to the scheme. You know, they hired internally because they're happy with the way the defense is going. It is very notable that Coach Dixon has, as the passing game defensive coordinator, has multiple times put up one of the best passing defenses in the country. Like, all that stuff is good, but yeah. How successful can we blitz? You know, how often can they blitz and still maintain, you know, run coverage and all the rest of that stuff? And just going to have to see it on the field, bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes back to like my note that I put in here, right? The defensive line is critical. And again, like, surprise, surprise, Rob says front seven, right? But the reality of it is it's the truth, right? Particularly because you're replacing, you know, two quality linebackers. So you have to have somebody that's going to step up and fill the role. You have experienced front seven, you know, defensive linemen. So you have to use those guys. And one of the things that I saw over the course of the year is watching some of the games back from last year. And what you saw is, as guys were getting hurt or guys were, you know, playing through injuries or whatever it was, like, pre-snap movement kind of went away, stunts went away on the front seven. So we stuck more to a base defense, you know, in parts of the season. And a base defense is much easier to exploit, right? If I'm not creating an opportunity for myself, either by, you know, a slant or a stunt or something, you know, something in the front, then it makes it a little bit more difficult for me to actually get those stops. Like, a run blitz is great too, right? You know, and I say that facetiously, but the reality of it is like, creating opportunities by moving people around or putting them in better positions, or even if it's just like a late pre-snap change that changes the way that you block an RPO, you know, so all those little things are effective. Go ahead, Nan.
I'd be interested to know how much stuff is getting called like that in these scrimmages that we've got right now, because you've got an experienced offense that can make reads. Yep. But do you have a defense that can make reads, or you play in a base defense?
Yeah,
because that would explain a lot if you've got these quarterbacks who are like, oh, this is a base defense and I'm just going to check the whatever.
Yeah, it makes it makes it really easy to run the option if the tackle is in the right spot. Right.
Yeah.
And if he's not moving or he's not creating any type of changes. And again, it goes back to what Omar was saying, like, hey, who's going to set the edge? So we've got to have somebody to set the edge. And, you know, the better your defensive ends play, you know, the less pressure it puts on your cornerbacks, right? Because the cornerbacks aren't, you know, forced to cover short and then cover deep. And it takes away a lot of the route tree. And so from a defensive perspective, you know, it starts with the front seven, and I, you know, that's going to be the hill that I'm going to die on. But the reality of it is all those additional layers that add depth to your defense usually start with the front seven. So if you're getting solid play from your nose guard, like we've seen, you know, nose guards freaking blow up Army's, you know, offense in the past, because they got like a 300-pound dude that's just wrecking shop. And it's like, all right, somebody block this kid, because like he's eviscerating the offensive line. And we have the talent to make people, you know, Army has the talent to have people do that this season. It's just whether or not, you know, they rise to that occasion and can stay healthy, because I think health is a big part of it too. But speaking of healthy, we have somebody that can keep you healthy, because you're not going to be stressing about your next mortgage. So I'll pass it over to Dan for the next read.
Friends, if you've listened to this show before, you know that we are sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is an area sales manager and mortgage broker at The Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig has two things going for him, right? Going to offer you super competitive rates to give you the best deal that he possibly can. And he is also going to give you the best, most personable service that you could ever wish for. And that matters, because the mortgage process is super confusing. You've got interest rates moving all over the place. You're trying to get your house appraised. You're trying to do all this crap. It's not the time that you want to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you, right? You'd much rather deal with somebody who actually cares, who will pick up the phone when you call, who's not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website or whatever. And as we've discussed, right, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings of like $1,300. Guys, get that money. Save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at The Money Store. Check him out. Links on our website. He and Jocelyn and Greg, too, all have these little business cards on the website. You just click on them. You'll be talking to any of our sponsors in a few hours, and it couldn't be easier. So, telling you, go to askforfootball.com. Get you hooked up.
Yeah. Thanks, Dano. So we're going to roll into the season preview. We're going to cover the next three games on the schedule. Again, if you didn't listen to last week's show, we previewed the offense, and then we went back and previewed the first part of the season. So this is basically the second quarter, if you want to call it that. We'll pass it over to Omar, who is going to lead this part of the discussion. And who's on the horizon for Army going into the second three games of the season? Thanks.
All right. So on October 3rd, the most anticipated Service Academy game of the day will be Army versus Louisiana Tech in Ruston. And Louisiana Tech is a team that I really don't know what to make of. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because this is a team coached by a Mike Leach, former Mike Leach quarterback at Texas Tech, Sonny Cumbie. But this team's built on running the ball, playing good defense. Their pass numbers aren't great. And honestly, if I'm being honest, I think that they match up well with Army in terms of a game being a rock fight. They do return their quarterback, Blake Baker, who played in 8 games last year before getting injured. But as a whole, the quarterback room threw only 8 touchdowns all year, 10 interceptions, averaged around 160 passing yards per game. The run game really carried the offense last year. They don't return any running backs. They just return their Wildcat quarterback and Trey Kukuk. Might have to censor that. they only return him. On defense, they somehow are able to return most of their defense. So I do think that this is a program that's building a good culture for them to be able to keep most of their defense. A defense that had 21 sacks, 22 interceptions, 7 forced fumbles while allowing around 20 points per game. As noted in our outline, redshirt senior defensive back Ja'Kari Foster had 8 interceptions last year, which is mind-boggling that he didn't get more attention for the Thorpe Award. But he's back, but luckily, hopefully, he won't have much of an impact on the game, we would hope. But
don't throw at him. That's not even complicated.
Yeah.
That's a tight end game. That's sort of the tight ends. But the line right now is 1.5, which I think some Army fans might see that as an insult, but I think
that's my projection. That's not an official betting line. I projected the line personally. That's my line.
Well, I agree with that, honestly. I think this is a team that matches up well. So I guess your guys' thoughts on Louisiana Tech Army October 3rd, starting with Rob.
Yeah, so really what I would say is, like, Louisiana Tech, this is their chance to kind of get some payback for the bowl game in 2024. I mean, I wouldn't say that they're much improved. They had a better record this season than they'd had that year that Army played them. But the reality of it is they're switching conferences, and so they have to make a statement, right? And one of the ways to make a statement is you bump off a previous year's conference champion, right? And so that will get the eyeballs on you. And they moved from – you know, this was it Sun Belt to Conference USA
from CUSA to the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Opposite, flipped it. So they're in the Sun Belt now. And, you know, one of the things I will say about the Sun Belt always plays Army tough. Like, if you think about the ULM games, like, you're always freaking chomping your nails and chewing on your antacid because they play Army pretty tough. And if it's a run oriented game, like, this could potentially be one of those, like, whoever has the ball last on offense is probably going to have a chance to win it. And nobody likes those games, but I mean, that's probably the reality of facing down the Bulldogs.
It is amazing to me that this guy Foster had 8 interceptions and somehow came back to Louisiana Tech. I mean, that's crazy. What is this guy? How did he not wind up in some cornerback room in the SEC, you know, pulling down $2 million a year? I find that shocking. I like you, Omar, I no idea what to make of this game. Cumbie entering his fifth season. I mean, they were decent last year, 8-5, but, you know, 5-3 in CUSA, but that doesn't blow you away. And now they're moving to the Sun Belt, which is a way harder conference. So we'll see. I think they have the Army game off a bye. So that's actually bad. But other than that, I don't know what to tell you. But I will say, all of the lines that we've given you are my personal projections based on a combination of FPI and SP Plus. So don't go out and bet those. You won't find those. That's just mine.
Sounds good, Dan.
Yeah, that's to wrap a bow in that, like, I'm kind of scared that maybe this year is a year that Sonny Cumbie's offense actually, like, looks like a Mike Leach offense. And that would just be our luck, honestly, because it just has not in the 5 years. And that's not an insult to them. I love Sonny Cumbie as a coach, but man, like it's just a very confusing team. You would think a Mike Leach disciple would have a more functional passing game, but they're winning. So, staying in Louisiana, opponent-wise, We have Tulane, defending American Conference champions, 11-3 in 2025. And there wasn't an official or coaches poll or media poll for the American, but I have to think that Tulane is pretty much a playoff candidate still, despite losing their head coach and a lot of their pieces from last year. They do return their offensive line, linebacking core, secondary, one of their running backs, I think their second leading rusher. And, you know, but it's still kind of hard to make out what Tulane's going to be. Because on the other hand, while they return most of these pieces, the biggest question in the room is Will Hall, the head coach at Southern Miss, was the head coach at Southern Miss to very limited success, which I have to say that was one of the more confusing hires of the offseason, even though they hired in-house. So, I mean, Tulane is definitely like a sticker win. But it might be less impressive this year just because no one knows what to make of the American. So I guess we'll go with Dano and then go to Rob for thoughts on that.
Yeah, I was shocked when I realized who they hired. It's like you're Tulane. You got one of the richest athletic departments in the group of six and you're hiring Southern Miss's coach. Listen, maybe the guy is going to come in and scorch the American, but I'd be surprised. But yeah, man, they returned most of their defense, but the defense wasn't really the strength of the team last year. Then they hired a guy who went 7-6 last year, seemingly because he's familiar with Tulane because he had been the offensive coordinator from 2019 to 2020. But those 2019 and 2020 Tulane teams weren't like world beaters. So I'm happy this game is going to be at Mikey Stadium, but I'm expecting Tulane is not going to be the force that they were previously in the American. We'll see. I'm prepared to be surprised, but if I had to bet, I would bet that Tulane might not be a contender this season.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I think, you know, Tulane was kind of the best of the rest last year. You know, we saw them make it into the playoff and I think that matters, right? It matters in the sense that, you know, you won a conference championship, you went into the playoff. I think it's a travesty of college football that we will probably never get a high rank like a 12-1 or 13-0 American Conference champion. We'll never get a bye as long as there's Power Four conference teams, because I think like the smaller conferences, the group of six guys, will need that week off to heal up to go into those bigger contests. And I think that's why, you know, like, oh, well, it doesn't make sense to have number one play number 16. Well, yeah, it does, but it's really not fair to those smaller teams that probably need a little bit more time to prepare, particularly health wise, before they go into those contests. And then I think it makes sense to poach the Southern Miss coach just because, you know, it's next door neighbors with Louisiana and he knows how to recruit. Right. And so
save like yourself on the plane flight. The airfare.
Well, I think legitimately he just knows how to recruit in that region of the country. Yeah. So you can bring in some talent that way. So I mean, because if he's, you know, recruited at Southern Miss, then he's recruited against Tulane and he's recruited against LSU. Right. And so if you know the right pitch, you can get some of those players that may be, you know, a three-star guy, you know, that's going to try and get onto LSU. Like, no, man, like if you come to see us, you'll be a starter. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes sense.
And so I think from a timing perspective, it makes sense to like poach a guy that's regional, that understands how to recruit in the region, because it may help build your team faster. But overall, I think, you know, Tulane would be willing to take those lumps, you know, this season to develop a team that has a chance to make a playoff run, maybe not this year, but next year. But I would still expect them to get 8-10 wins. I mean, it's Tulane. Those guys are good. They recruit speed. They usually have great running backs. Like being completely honest, like do not be surprised if that game is, you know, is another, you know, Army Tulane shootout, right? Like it's getting pretty crazy because like if you look at the schedule for Army, basically every game in the American could be a rivalry game, right? Because Tulane and Army always slug it out. You know, Army and UTSA always slug it out. Army and North Texas always slug it out. And those are great football games to watch, right? If you're a football fan, those are awesome to watch. You know, if you're an Army fan, you're holding on to your Tums and hoping for the win. But the reality of it is those are great football contests to watch. And so as long as they're competitive, I think people will be okay. But, you know, mixed bag with Tulane, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting. I mean, And I'll say this to preface the next opponent for Army. I think you can talk yourself into a lot of teams in the American making noise and potentially winning the conference, if not making the playoff. And I think you can say it to some degree about the next opponent after Tulane. Florida Atlantic is another team that's kind of on the group of six media rounds. It's kind of a nice taste, nice flavor of the month, nice surprising, exciting taste. 4-8 last year, 3-5 in the American, but Coach Zach Kittley enters his second season. James brought up the really insane production numbers that they're returning next year, and especially the quarterback, Caden Veltkamp, who is, unlike Blake Baker, you're producing like a prototypical air raid quarterback, gunslinger. 3,641 yards at a 67% completion rate with 24 touchdowns. But the interceptions are an issue, as well as the sacks. He did take a lot of sacks, so that could be a get right game for the pass rush. We'll have to see. Turnovers were a huge thing for FAU, but in the notes, which I want to say, I don't know if you type this, Dano.
These are my notes.
Okay. Yeah, the North Texas of 2026, which it's bold. I do think that FAU is going to put some things together. I don't know if they'll be that good, but
I mean, they're going to cut down on the interception and learn to run the ball. So
yeah,
can they do that? I don't know, but do they have the talent? Yeah, probably.
Absolutely. So this one's fascinating for sure. And I mean, I know writing my preview, I'm excited in terms of running the ball. They got a lineman that, or maybe that was Charlotte. I think that was Charlotte actually. I'm mixing up my poor gets, but I'll just move on from that. So Rob and then Dan, what are your thoughts on the FAU game?
That's for sure. Nice, man. So again, FAU always got attention. Like, they were getting attention a few years back when their coach was a guy by the name of Lane Kiffin. You may have heard of him, but one of the things that you have to look at when you look at Veltkamp's numbers, like, if he wasn't completing a pass, he was getting sacked or intercepted, right? Because he hit 67% of his throws. And so that means that 30%, he's either hitting the turf or he's throwing the ball away, right? And so for Army, since we're talking focusing in on defense, this would be a great opportunity for the defensive backs of Army to kind of, light this dude up and take full advantage of those turnovers. And knowing that this guy, has the potential to put 30% of his passes either on the, behind the line of scrimmage or in the hands of the other team, both of which are good. Like, I would prefer the interceptions, because then that gives the offense another opportunity to hold on to the ball and kind of close the game out. And again, what I said last week still holds true with Florida Atlantic, man. They were, a couple plays in either direction and they could have been 5-3 in the conference or 8-4. Right. So it could go both ways. And as a team is developing, for a guy to throw 67%, that's elite level passing, regardless if you're in, the American or not.
I think this game comes down to who can run the ball and stop the run, which is insane when you're talking about a team like FAU. But with Army scheme, they're not going to let Florida Atlantic throw over the top. Like, you just know that that's not what's going to happen. So if FAU can run the ball and they can slow down Army, then Army's probably screwed. But if Army runs the ball and FAU can't run a lick, then I think Black Knights probably by two scores. So we shall see. Friends, there is a reason you do not need another workout. You need a coach who is an expert in fitness and proven protocols. And more importantly, someone who survived total physical and mental collapse and then pulled himself out of the fire and rebuilt himself even stronger and better. Greg Iannacelli is a West Point graduate from the class of 1997, a U.S. Army veteran, successful enterprise software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Greg rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50, he became the national champion in classic physique bodybuilding at the NPC Masters U.S. National Championships in Las Vegas. That's right, guys. He won the Natty, earned his IFBB Pro card, and proved that it's never too late to become the warrior you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you are ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos, apply today at warriorsphysiquefitness.com and start writing your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg is offering all active military, veterans, and first responders a 15% discount on his 16-week transformation program fee. AFF Firstie Club members and or West Point graduates get a massive 30% discount on that same initial 16-week fee. Like all our sponsors, Greg has a business card up on the AFF website. Click on it, and you'll be talking to him in a day or two. Guys, get yourself back into your prime. Don't wait. Do it. Rob, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm being attacked by freaking Spider-Man. I have no idea. But, yeah, so, hey, this is the end of the show. Thanks, Dano, for the read. It says you have a favorite thing, so go for it if you like.
Yeah, my wife got asked to teach yoga to Sacred Heart's football team. Just freaking incredible. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She can be out there doing downward dog with all the linebackers and stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, it may sound silly for those of you who don't practice yoga, but if you're going to be a serious athlete into like your 30s and 40s, yoga is not just optional. It's actually mandatory.
Yeah,
you will not get there once you're at like 42.
I'm not doing some yoga. Yeah, I cannot tell a lie. We actually had a yoga excursion when I was a cadet at West Point for the sprint football team, and we got our butt smoked. So, yeah, yoga certainly is. It works muscles that you don't typically think it would. But I have a favorite thing also. So if you guys are anywhere near a military clothing and sales at a military base all over the country, Joe Troutman's book is landed inside clothing and sales. Super impressive. Like, we've been sending in pictures, all the different people from the company that are still in the suit or close enough to a military base to snap a photo. And it's pretty crazy to see your story sitting next to Sun Tzu's Art of War in clothing and sales. Like, it's kind of
wild,
but it's also cool, right? But for the crew here at the Ask for Football Army Football Show, we talk defense, which is a place that's very close to my heart. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Omar the Burger Popper calling to you out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Hey, we appreciate you guys for joining us this week. And just a quick reminder, if you are not a member of the Firstie Club, you need to be, because pretty soon this is going to go behind the paywall. So for the early entry folks, we'll get you'll get to chat with us live, but you'll get the audio version.
And just to add, game day chats, you know, don't scream at your TV by yourself. Scream at your TV with other people. The game day chat is really where it's at.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the main thing, is just, you know, being able to commiserate with a bunch of college football nerds that enjoy the game just as much as you do, but they also have a commiserate experience, whether that be sitting in the stands with you and or hanging out at a tailgate. But it's also, you know, a great way to, like, I spent several hours, you know, on the phones on the weekends chatting with guys, you know, just commiserating about the sport. And then you obviously talk about other things like life and family and other things that are just as important as football. So we will close this thing out, and we will see you guys next week. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Like and subscribe for more Army football analysis. Shop our store today. Go Army. Beat Navy.
That'll do it for this edition of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to everyone riding with us each week as we break down the black nights, the season, and everything that makes Army football special. Before we get out of here, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, relocating, or just trying to figure out your next move, Jocelyn Bradley is ready to help you.